Hello, and welcome back to our continuing look at the mayors of Robbinsdale. I'm Crystal Boyd, a member of the Robbinsdale Historical Society. In this episode, the mayors of Robbinsdale Part 2 will step into a time of real momentum and personality, when strong leadership helped shape the city through years of growth, change, and some unforgettable stories. We begin with Mayor Robert A. Merwin, whose four-vote victory in 1954 set the stage for a fascinating chapter in local history. Robbinsdale was on the move, expanding, evolving, and even considering a merger with the neighboring city of Crystal. Big ideas, practical concerns, and even a little humor, especially when the mayor didn't wait for a city merger and simply moved across the border. From there, we'll meet a series of leaders who each left their mark. John Joe Johnson, who briefly studied the ship, and the legendary Walter Sohocki, a coach, teacher, and outspoken advocate who wasn't afraid to challenge the norms of his time. His story reminds us that leadership isn't just about policy, it's about courage, character, and community. We'll also revisit Charles Wallace and his efforts to modernize Robbinsdale, from housing improvements to city governance, and then move through decades of transformation as mayors guided redevelopment, strengthened civic life, and helped shape the city we know today. Along the way, we'll meet figures like Joy Robb, Robbinsdale's first woman mayor, who broke tradition and brought a new voice to local government, and others who carried the city into the modern era. So settle in with me and with Pete Ritchie, the president of the Robbinsdale Historical Society, as we continue this journey through Robbinsdale's history, where every mayor adds a new chapter, and every chapter tells us a little bit more about the community we call home.
So our next mayor is Robert A. Merwin. Of course, there's this famous drugstore on West Broadway and then later in Robbins Center. And chances are Robert A. Merwin is related to that family, but his family did not own the drugstore.
So what's interesting about Charles Wallace and Robert Merwin, the next mayor, is that they span these post-war years. Wallace is 1947 to 1954, and Robert A. Merwin is 1954 to 1960. So there are mayors over the span of time where there's a lot of development in Robbinsdale. And Merwin, he was born in Minneapolis in 1914, elected in 1954, but he barely squeaked into office after a recount confirmed a four-vote margin over Walter Sohocki. In December 1958, the Minneapolis Star reported that merger talks were going on between city officials in Robbinsdale and Crystal. The mayor of Robbinsdale, Mayor Merwin, said the merger could save tens of thousands of dollars by eliminating duplication in public services, so you wouldn't have to pay for the same thing in both of these smaller communities. And it was predicted that by combining, this new community could be home to over 50,000 people in less than 10 years' time. So the mayor in Crystal, Mayor Princeton, says he doesn't really care what the new town will be called. He didn't care if it was Robbinsdale or Crystal. But on a bigger level, people predict that the name of the community is going to be a thorny issue.
Crystaldale, Robin Chris.
Robineries? In 1960, Mayor Merwin resigned after he bought a house one block into Crystal.
He can't wait for the merger.
He just launches right over the border.
Yeah.
He's not going to wait.
All right. So the next we have John Joe Johnson, born 1907 in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he gets elected in 1960. He had served as an alderman, and he was the acting mayor after Merwin resigned. You know, in the old days, this was pretty common. Your name might be John, but then they'd put a couple quotes in there, and that would be John Joe Johnson. And I don't see that anymore. Do people still do that? So he's our next mayor, just serves out the end of Merwin's term. Then in 1960, again, we have another legendary mayor, Walter Sohocki. He's born in 1910 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he's elected in 1960. He was over at the high school. He was the basketball coach. He was the gym teacher. The largest park in Robbinsdale is Walter Sohocki Park. So Mayor Sohocki was described by the Minneapolis Tribune as a teacher, coach, environmentalist, politician, union leader with feminist tendencies. He was adamant when he was opposed to something. He made a big noise. So he's Robbinsdale's football coach, too, in 1937, and the team was undefeated that year. And at the age of 33, Sohocki volunteered for the U.S. Navy and ran physical training for cadets. In 1943, Robbinsdale's football team featured Vern Gagne. and they only lost one game that season. As president of the local teachers union in the early 1950s, Zaki caused a stir when he demanded equal wages for men and women. So I guess he did have feminist tendencies. He thought, why should the women get paid less than the men? But 1950s, that's stepping out there. He also raised eyebrows when he had a visiting African-American Olympian, Jesse Owens, whose name we all still know today, stay at his home. And that might not have seemed like a big deal, but at that time, they wouldn't put Owens up at some of the local motels. I don't know which ones it was, but he tried to get a room. He was going to give a speech in Minneapolis and give a speech over at the high school. And Zahaki says, well, why don't you stay with me? And back then, Robbinsdale was an all-white community. And, well, women didn't get paid as much as men. And things were very different. So he wasn't afraid to go out on a limb. He served on the Robbinsdale Park Board before he became mayor. Zahaki thought Robbinsdale was a residential community and was a fierce opponent of North Memorial's expansion. The hospital was building and building. And he actually said, you know, you guys own all this land out there in Maple Grove. Why don't you go build your hospital out there? Well, many years later, that's exactly what they did. And in 1984, Zahaki Park was named for the former mayor at the insistence of the former owner of the 34 acres that now comprise most of that park. And Red Zahaki is, I know that he's remembered in sports circles. Gracie's done a couple little articles about the history of Robbinsdale sports and the high school sports, and he always mentions Red Zahaki. So the guy was a character. I also know he liked to eat over at Merwin's. Long after he retired, he could be found over in the back of Merwin's Drugs, having himself a pizza burger or whatever strange chicken Merwin's was serving at the time. And now we're back to Charles Wallace, born 1915 in Sloan, Iowa. And so nobody was surprised when Captain Billy Fawcett's barber stepped back into the mayor's office for a second time. Wallace worked for T.V. Everson and Associates as a municipal bond consultant. He spent over 20 years as a Robbinsdale volunteer fireman and 44 years on North Memorial's Board of Trustees. Wallace received the WCCO Good Neighbor Award twice. During the time, Wallace worked with the city commission, led by city attorney Patrick Rufinock, to redraft a 52-page city charter. One difference the Robbinsdale Charter Commission wanted was staggered elections in order to assure some continuity on the city council. Because of the continuing deterioration of homes in Robbinsdale, Wallace and the city council established the Robbinsdale Housing and Redevelopment Authority. And one of the things they did was we had these little houses, and in Minneapolis and in some of the first ring suburbs, they're called alley houses. So you would build a substandard house, or maybe you'd even move a cabin from someplace else and put it on the back of your lot toward the alley. And the Robbinsdale Housing Authority, one of the first things they did was encourage people to move out of those houses or condemn them if they were rental properties and build a nicer, newer home on those places. Around Crystal Lake, there was a whole bunch of them that were actually rental and lake cabins that had been put up by the Nash family in their early 20s or late teens. And those all got kind of moved out by the Robbinsdale Housing Authorities. I think there's still maybe two or three left back there that got remodeled and became modern homes. So there were 150 homes that were identified that just were considered substandard. And many of them, another word for those were garage homes, they would call them. And they were built, you know, to be temporary things. And you're also going to, you know, eventually you were going to have enough money to build the home you wanted at the front of the lot, or maybe you never did. So the Robbinsdale Housing Authority would sometimes acquire these homes for $6,000 to $8,000. And the charter members of the HRA, Robbinsdale Housing Authority, were appointed by Mayor Wallace, and they were Milo Milky, Frank Litherland, Hal Matson, Donald Floyd, and Riley Blodgett. Robbinsdale's old city hall on West Broadway was torn down to make way for a Red Owl grocery store parking lot in 1954. After that, the municipal offices were moved into temporary quarters in the police and fire building on Hubbard Avenue. Construction on the new government offices behind Robbins Center began in 1968, and the Robbinsdale Civic Center was dedicated to Mayor Charles O. Wallace on October 24th, 1970.
It's kind of a nice honor that they dedicated it for him.
It is. And city employees have been doing nothing but complain about that building ever since it was dedicated. I think it's an interesting building. It's got this interesting sort of hexagon shape, this beautiful city council chambers, and you have these skylights that make up the front of it, but apparently it's very echoey. It's hard to divide into coherent spaces. It's a great place to go get your driver's license or your passport because the DMV down there just never seems to have a long line. I think what the city would really like to do is move over here by the police and fire station again. Our next mayor is James McDonald, and he was born in 1930 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's elected in 1972, and I just like he was known as the watchdog of the Robbinsdale City Council. McDonald defeated former Robbinsdale police chief George Rope. During his term, McDonald and the city council placed a moratorium on rezoning and created a comprehensive downtown redevelopment plan. Harvey L. Lang, born 1931, elected in 1976, the site of Lang's house became a major issue in the 1976 campaign. Lang sold his home to North Memorial for $70,000 while he was on the Robbinsdale City Council. The hospital removed the house to make way for a parking lot. Lang won his first seat on the City Council in 1970. Lang became the president of the Minnesota Mayors Association in 1976, and 4 years later, he received the League of Minnesota Cities C.C. Ludwig Award for Outstanding Public Service, a prestigious award. Lang lobbied the legislature for a variety of municipal matters, including the use of tax increment financing for redevelopment projects and the revision of state aid formulas for municipalities. Lang worked as a program manager for Honeywell. He is also credited with changes to the city's financial position, which resulted in the city having a bond rating rising from B to A. You know, I don't think we can underestimate the power of tax increment financing. What project gets done in any municipality in Minnesota now without that? In Robbinsdale, the big one would be the Hy-Vee was tax increment financing. I believe that some of the new apartment buildings that are just across the way on the site of the old Westfall American Legion site are tax increment financing. I think this is just how things get built in the city now. You want to come build in our city? Let's give you an incentive. Our next mayor is Ray Mattson, born in 1926 in Sebeka, Minnesota, and he's elected in 1980. In 1980, 89% of the registered voters in Robbinsdale voted in the presidential election, compared to the national average of 50%. 89%. I wonder if 89% voted in the last presidential election. The League of Women Voters sponsored a candidates meeting with Ray Mattson, who was elected mayor, Carol Karkey from the second ward, and William Blonigan from the first ward, who was elected to the city council. Let's remember that name, William Blonigan, because we're way back there in 1980, and I think that's where he makes his first appearance in our city's government. And of course, Blonigans have been involved in the city one way or another, going way back to the 1920s. And I know the other part of that family is the Kavanaughs, and they had a construction business here and built homes in Robbinsdale and in Golden Valley. Fabian Blonigan, which is just a great name, Fabian. How come nobody names their kids Fabian anymore? But Fabian Blonigan was a big sports star over at the high school, so I know he went here to Robbinsdale High School. So we'll put a bookmark in that. We're here with Raymond Mattson. So he's a World War II Navy veteran, a member of the Robbinsdale City Council for 10 years. Mattson helped foster big redevelopment projects like the Terrace Mall. There's one, the Ward's Terrace Mall. And the Robbinsdale Town Center, so he was mayor for both of those. Lee Square, so they tear down Lee School, and we get Lee Square there. North Memorial Medical Center expansion, First Bank's downtown offices, and Copperfield Hill. Mattson owned and operated Dolly Ray Industries, a canvas boat and cover company, with his wife, Dolly Mattson. Dolly Ray, Dolly Mattson, Ray Mattson, Dolly, I guess... Have I beat that to death yet? The year Mattson was elected, Robbinsdale was one of 10 Minnesota cities to be named Tree City USA due to the overall tree management program and its coordination on Dutch elm disease control and the reforestation project. This award was given by the National Arbor Day Association headquartered in Nebraska and was presented by Governor Al Quie on April 9th. This award was given again in 1981 and 1982, and when you drove into Robbinsdale, you would see these metal signs right underneath the, you know, Robbinsdale city limits and then population, and then it would be Tree City, USA. I was always proud to be part of Tree City, USA. I do think it's funny the National Arbor Day's headquarters is in Nebraska. How did that happen?
You must really appreciate trees if you don't have them all the time.
All right.
Well, I'm super excited for the next mayor. It's been 95 years
right,
since Robbinsdale became a village, and here we go.
From what I understand about the way Joy Robb became mayor was she kind of just inserted herself. The people on the Robbinsdale City Council would sort of look around when it was time to elect a mayor, say, are you going to run? Who's going to be next? Which one of us will be next to be mayor? And when Joy Robb announced that she was running for mayor and she wasn't on the city council, they thought, well, she has to take her turn. She has to be on the council first and then be the mayor. You can't just walk in here and become the mayor. She'd kind of cut her political teeth when Robbinsdale was busy closing schools, and she was a big advocate. All of her children had been to the Robbinsdale schools. She graduated from Robbinsdale High School. But Joy Robb was born in 1934 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She was elected in 1988. We like to call her the mother of Robbinsdale. She was the mother of Robbinsdale. Joy grew up on Regent Avenue and graduated from Robbinsdale High School in 1952. She went on to receive a degree at Hamline University in 1956. Robb worked for Merle Lynch for 5 years, and that's where she met her husband. Her involvement in the local school issues led to her first election to the Robbinsdale School Board in 1984. She was elected chairperson of the board in 1986. Robb was elected to her first term as mayor of Robbinsdale in 1988 and her second term in 1992. As mayor, she was a member of the North Metro Development Association and the League of Minnesota Cities. Most of the time, when you have a Robbinsdale mayor, they come from the city council. But Joy Robb skipped all that and just became mayor. One of her many accomplishments was open mic period before every meeting, during which members of the public could address the school board and then the city council. Robb belonged to many civic organizations, the Minnesota Citizens League, PRISM, the Minnesota Center for Women in Government, the Robbinsdale Chamber of Commerce, the Robbinsdale Community Council, Citizens Independent Bank, Crystal Lake Good Samaritan Center. She was a member of the Robbinsdale Charter Commission and the Robbinsdale Historical Society. She was a founding member of Brunswick United Methodist Church over there in Crystal. That church actually was the old Elam Church. They hauled it over there to 42nd in Crystal and became the Brunswick Church. But yeah, and I got to have lunch with Joy at a class reunion. I believe what it was their 60th class reunion, and it was over there at Nana Rosa's. And she was much thinner in her 80s than I had remembered her when I was in high school. I had a couple of friends whose mothers were very involved in fighting the school board because we did not want to see Robbinsdale High School closed, and that was kind of one of her big issues too. And I think she maybe even influenced the Robbinsdale City Council and the mayor at the time to make sure that they couldn't sell the land that the schools were on, that the old Robbinsdale Junior High School was on and the old Robbinsdale Senior High School was on. Any wrench they could throw in slowing down the school board and its closing of Robbinsdale schools, they threw, and she was in the middle of all that.
And she's the only woman mayor.
Yeah, a bit of an old boys club there. And speaking of which, so after Joy had enough of being the mayor, Mike Holtz, who had been on the city council almost as long as Bill Blagan, he's our next mayor. And again, a Robbinsdale Historical Society member, and he would come over here on Fridays pretty often and sit around and talk with Raleigh and the guys. So Mike Holtz was born in 1948 in Ham Lake, Minnesota, and he was elected in 1997, a 1966 graduate of Ham Lake High School. Holtz played basketball, football, baseball. He earned 6 letters, and he spent 2 years in the U.S. Army. When he was elected to the Robbinsdale City Council in 1981, Holtz was the president of the Robbinsdale JCs and vice president of MCB Inc. in Minneapolis. He served for 16 years on the council before running for the mayor's office in 1997. During his term, Holtz participated in the planning of Highway 100 improvements And look at that now. That there wasn't just a little planning involved there. That's probably when they took down all the picnic tables at Granger Park and then put them in storage. Eventually, they got him back, and he served on the Highway 100 Council and the Botno Boulevard Commission. He was involved in the Human Rights Commission, Park and Rec Commission, the French Park Advisory Committee. Holtz also served on the Board of Directors for the Northwest Cable Commission and was a board member of the Metro Mayors Association. He was a member of the Robbinsdale Library Club and the Junior Chamber of Commerce. Holtz spent many years as a volunteer for the Cub Scouts, for the Boy Scouts, and youth sports. In 2011, he received a Lifetime Service Award from the Robbinsdale Chamber of Commerce. The other thing he would do is he would MC the Whiz Bang Day parades along with Dave Kaiser. For many years, he would sit there, and as each float would come by, he would think of something to say about them. And I could remember whenever I would come by dressed up as a cootie, or the Robbinsdale Historical Society would come by with a red truck and whatever we were hauling around, you know, he would always remind everybody to come over to the museum. Oh, look, here comes the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Be sure to stop by the museum. Say hi to Raleigh. Fridays is always a good day to stop by there and get a free cup of coffee. So he was a great booster of our organization, and we miss him. Passed away recently. Regan Murphy, born 1975 in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and elected in 2012. I've been trying to find out where each one of these mayors was born. He's the only one that I can really nail down as being born in Robbinsdale. I think some other ones were, but I just was never able to really find it. So he's born and raised in Robbinsdale, and Murphy works as a sales representative at Stryker Orthopedics. Previously served on the Robbinsdale Planning Commission and the Parks and Recreation and Forestry Commissions. He was also a founding member of the Heart of Robbinsdale Community Foundation. In his first year as mayor, Murphy worked for free. After campaigning on a promise that he would donate his first year's pay, Murphy returned $10,000 to help build a park pavilion at Lakeview Terrace Park. Murphy has been a tireless booster for development in the city of Robbinsdale. During his term, he was an active proponent of large-scale projects like the Hy-Vee Grocery Store, the 150-unit Birdtown Flats apartment complex, the Parker Station apartment complex. Murphy helped attract new business like the Wicked Wart Brewery, and he promoted Robbinsdale's restaurant-led downtown revival. Murphy is also the co-founder of Robbinsdale's Birdtown Half Marathon Race, and he usually would run it wearing a kilt. That's the thing that just always stands out to me.
What's interesting to me is that his salary was $10,000. I didn't know it was that low, and I just looked it up in 2025. Yeah. It was $11,900.
I didn't know it was that high. None of these little suburban mayors are drawing much of a salary. And the fact that, I mean, I just think he led the way by donating his salary to the city and to such a worthy project. So that's at least one nice thing we could say about Regan Murphy. But one of my favorite stories is some years ago when they were remodeling Dayton's downtown, they had found the skeleton of a monkey up in the rafters. It didn't take too much of a digging or scratching or investigating to figure out that Dayton's at one time, you could go buy pets. They had a pet department in Dayton's. And one of the things they sold in the 50s and 60s was monkeys. At some point, the local news finds Regan Murphy and his mom, and they put them down because they've got a story to tell. And it turned out that Regan's father had gone downtown with a pal, and they got a monkey. And they bring it home, and mom is just not having it. We're not having a monkey. You don't get to have a monkey. I don't care how much you paid for it or where you got it. That monkey's not living with us. And so they go back downtown, and they're embarrassed and don't know what to do. So they just let the monkey go in Dayton's. So is the monkey skeleton they found up in the rafters that monkey? That's at least as good theory as any. And it's a great story. And I remember watching it on the news, and Regan's mother describes his father as, well, he was an Irish boy. I'm thinking, only Irish boys want monkeys? A pretty good story. So our next mayor is Bill Blonigan, and he's born in 1953 and elected in 2020. And this is Bill Blonigan was on the city council since 1980, so he spent a long time in Robbinsdale government. Bill Blonigan has been one of the most influential local officials in the history of Robbinsdale. He was elected to the Robbinsdale City Council in 1980 and took office in 1981. As Ward 1 council member, a position he held for 10 consecutive terms, over those 40 years on the council, Blacken became a central figure in many of the city's major decisions, helping guide investments in public safety facilities, parks, and infrastructure, while also supporting economic development, housing expansion, and improvements to the city's historic downtown.
In 2020, after decades on the council, Blonigan was elected mayor, and he served from 2021 through 2024. While mayor, he continued to focus on long-term infrastructure and community development, including the construction of a new water treatment plant and the award-winning water tower, redevelopment projects that created new housing, and major improvements to Lakeview Terrace Park and other city amenities. His tenure also included support for environmental initiatives, efforts to remove racial covenants from property records, and policies promoting inclusion and economic growth. After 44 years in city government, Blonigan retired from public office at the end of 2024, leaving a legacy of one of Robbinsdale's longest-serving and most consequential civic leaders. Wow, and what a legacy to serve for 40 years and then to pick up as mayor in the pandemic. I bet he never imagined that that would be one of the central topics of his tenure. That's incredible.
He picked some tougher issues. I mean, he was interested in solar energy, and there's always a little pushback on things like that. He was also interested in the history of racial covenants. Of course, that probably came from his daughter, Maria Cisneros, over there in Golden Valley as the Golden Valley city attorney. So our next mayor is Brad Sutton, born in 1972. So now we're getting to people who are closer to our age, or at least my age. Brad Sutton's born in 1972 and elected in 2024. I know he grew up in St. Louis Park in Minnetonka, but he gets to Robbinsdale, I think, in 2016. And he's also a podcaster. I believe his podcast is called The Art of Drinking. And I know he likes the Wicked Ward a lot. So since taking office, Sutton has overseen a major transition in city services by switching Robbinsdale's trash collection to Republic Services in response to resident feedback, and launched an upgraded Robbinsdale City website featuring improved accessibility and translation tools. On the legislative front, Sutton signed a resolution affirming a commitment to our community to support the diverse populations, and formally declared that city staff will not cooperate with Federal Immigration Enforcement, or ICE. He also physically improved local recreation by opening a new fitness court at Lakeview Terrace Park and installing a new playground at Manor Park.
Well, Brad Sutton might take us full circle back to one of those early mayors. Charles Schuler got sort of raked over the coals for Robbinsdale having much ill repute over the liquor matter and besmirching the town.
Oh, that's so great. Well, yeah, we've got a guy who's got a podcast called The Art of Drinking, which we're going to have to go listen to now. Our mayors have been rather supportive of bars and saloons throughout our history. I mean, Mayor Schuler facing down the Attorney General of Minnesota and saying, "We're enforcing our liquor laws just fine. Why don't you back off?"
Left a great legacy for Robbinsdale.
That's right.
Well, Pete, this is amazing. We've been through so many mayors. Do you think there are any lessons learned from the mayors of Robbinsdale that you would want to share with a future mayor of Robbinsdale?
Take the side of the saloons. This is an obvious one.
And a common theme recently is that the mayors are all members of the Robbinsdale Historical Society. So if you want to have a successful campaign here, you got to join up.
You see, though, I think Regan Murphy would come over and cheer us on when we were celebrating wrestling history of Robbinsdale. Mike Holtz was certainly a member and would come over and participate in conversations here every other Friday for a long time. And then he would come a little less often, but was often over here. We've had mayors come and speak with us. Bill Blonigan came over and presented the original vision for light rail, where it was going to come down closer to Hubbard Avenue and the Hubbard Transit Station was going to be used before they decided that I think they had a falling out with the railroad, and now it's going to be over on Highway 81. I mean, I would encourage any future mayor of Robbinsdale that wants to find success to join the Robbinsdale Historical Society. What better way to embrace your community and its history? Well, we got through it.
We did it.
Yeah. I think we should start over and do it again.
Thanks for listening. I'm Crystal Boyd. Robbinsdale Revisited is brought to you by the Robbinsdale Historical Society. Our little history museum is located at 4915 42nd Avenue North in the heart of Robbinsdale. We're open Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 3. You can also visit us online at robbinsdale.org. You found this episode, so you know where to find the next one. City every Saturday to see our friends. In the bus back home, sitting hand in hand. When the evening ends, when the evening ends, when the evening ends, in Robbinsdale.
Our theme music is provided by Gabe Barnett and Them Rounders.